NBC Sports has been showing these classic Warriors games on nights when Warriors games were supposed to be being played, and I imagine most markets with NBA teams are doing this, but with the Warriors, something really stands out, and that's just how weird things have gotten in just 9 months. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. We'll get to our Twitter poll later on in the show, but I mean, seeing Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and even Kevin Durant, and then of course you've got the bench with the veterans and everybody knows what they're doing, to see all of that in some of these games that NBC Sports has been re-airing over the last week, if you've been a Warriors fan for more than a decade, maybe this season's team looked familiar, right? If you've been rooting for this, like, before the dynasty, prior to 2012, 2013, when things started ramping up, I mean, the Warriors were bad for 30 years. This season looked like that season. I mean, still jarring, no doubt, considering where the drop-off is from. But, I mean, mostly, if you've been around that team for a long time, if you're one of those guys and or girls in Oracle who were just always there cheering, like, you've seen this before. Okay, maybe you have some sort of base of familiarity, but if you've just sort of gotten on the ride, if you just started rooting for that team within the last 5 years, when they started winning championships, I mean, you've got no idea what you're watching right now, or this season. You got on because of these games that they're re-airing, because Stephen Curry could shoot 13 threes and make 13 threes in a game. That's what you were watching. That's what you were watching for. That's why you are a fan now. By the way, this is not a thing against bandwagon fans. I don't care about bandwagon fans. That's why you get good in sports, is to get more fans and then you make more money. The other version of that is the New York Knicks, okay, where there are no bandwagon fans. Everybody just goes to the game, supports the team no matter what, and then they suck for 40 years. Nobody cares about them. They have no incentive to get better because they sell out every game and they sell a ton of merchandise no matter what. So it's not a thing against bandwagon fans. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing it out. If you are a bandwagon fan, if you've just gotten on to the Warriors, and by the way, if you stuck through them this year, you're no longer a bandwagon fan. You get credit for that. But if you got on during these last 5 years and you watched this season, I can't even imagine what you went. I mean, how jarring was that? And it was gradual, right? It was sort of gradual. We knew that Klay Thompson wasn't going to be part of this team. Yeah, after he tore his ACL in June. Like, we knew he wouldn't be playing. Kevin Durant, of course, left. He doesn't play for the Warriors anymore. Stephen Curry, okay, that and Draymond Green, they were still there. All right, D'Angelo Russell was a part of it. You thought, okay, maybe they can make this work. At least you've got some scoring. Yeah, we lost Andre Iguodala. Yeah, we lost Sean Livingston. But at least, you know, I mean, they were on the back ends of their primes. They really weren't as good as they were. Or they had been, you know, they were sort of, you know, aging out. They got some nice young pieces here. Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, like, these are some good pieces. Kevon Looney, they just re-signed him. We got him, good. So you didn't expect this, right? No way. And then Steph Curry, I mean, look, first of all, they were bad before Steph Curry broke his hand. But Steph Curry breaks his hand, he's not even on the team. And that was the weirdest thing. They didn't even look the same anymore. And there was a period of time where they were running D'Angelo Russell pick and roll, isolation stuff over and over and over and over and over again. For about a month, they were doing that. And Draymond Green was standing in the corner. They were using him like PJ Tucker. I mean, if you got on to this thing because of the ball movement, because of the three-point shooting, because of the beautiful Steve Kerr-era basketball, that all that stuff, that whirring motion offense, did you even enjoy at any point this season watching this team at any point? Maybe a couple of games here and there. But really, for any consistent, sustained period of time, did you enjoy watching this team? That is an honest question that I have. I have to cover this team. I have to watch them. I'll tell you that. I did not enjoy watching this team. The least fun part of my job for a lot of this season was actually covering the games. The games were boring as hell. I hated watching these games. It was bad, bad basketball, okay? And it wasn't bad basketball because they were 15 and 50, all right? It was bad basketball because it was boring to watch. which we never would have thought with the last 5 years of war. Like, they were the most fun team to watch. They were number one in league pass ranking. All the talent, all the ball movement, good defense, everything you wanted. They knew what they were doing. If you were a basketball connoisseur, you loved it because they played right the right way. If you didn't know anything about basketball, you loved it because Steph Curry's draining 13 threes in a game and Klay Thompson's going off for 37 points in a quarter. That they're going to show that game on Wednesday. We're going to watch that game. We're going to watch the replay of that game. We're going to be like, oh my God, do we remember this? And again, most markets in the league are doing this. All right, a lot of markets in the NBA, and ESPN is doing this with some classic college games. A lot of people right now, during this time, are re-airing classic great games. Okay, and so classic great games are always going to be great, right? You remember how great that game was, and you kind of go back into that moment when you were watching it live, and you're like, man, did I really understand how great this game was at the time? And probably not, right? Because you've got all the stress and the anxiety of watching the game, watching your team, and then you go back and watch it, and you can really sort of appreciate it a little bit more, knowing what the outcome is going to be. You can kind of just appreciate the possession-to-possession part of the game. But for Warriors fans right now, I mean, goodness, watching these games. I mean, you must be... It's a breath of fresh air, undoubtedly. And hopefully you're looking forward to what this could look like next year. I am, by the way. I really am. I mean, I'm going to go back next year. Curry, Thompson, these guys are going to be healthy. The basketball will be back to what it was and what it ought to be. It'll be fun to watch again. Like I said, this was the most boring part of my job was actually covering the games. I liked, you know, writing stories about the players on the team. I liked doing the analysis stuff. You know, I like doing the mailbags that I do. I like writing. You know, I liked writing about the team. I liked the players on the team. You know, I liked talking to them. I like telling their stories, but I didn't necessarily enjoy watching them play basketball together. Okay, there were things that you find that you like. But when we start talking about, boy, Eric Paschal, maybe he could be the backup for next year. Jordan Poole, hey, okay. He's really, you know, he's got something. Like, that's what we're got to. That's the point we got to this season. And that is a lot different than, is this team the greatest team ever? Where do the Warriors rank all time? Are the Warriors actually better without Kevin Durant? That was a conversation we were having in the playoffs last year, guys. That was a conversation we were having, a real conversation that we were having. And I think, look, it's going to get better next year. My job will be more fun next year. You guys who are listening will have more fun watching this team next year, whenever that year happens. And I think we'll get a lot more listeners next year, too, because people will be back on the bandwagon. Now, let's move on now. I talked with some people with the Warriors about how all of this coronavirus pandemic stuff is going to impact their draft strategy. That's coming up next. This is Locked On Warriors. I wrote a story for the Mercury News on Friday about how the Warriors draft strategy is going to be different because of how this pandemic has canceled all of these events and possibly the NBA the draft combine. They're not going to have much information. One thing that stood out to me was not the fact that this will impact the quality of their selection with the top five pick. Okay, they're going to have a top five pick, but how this is going to impact how they fill out their summer league roster, their G League roster, who they want to sign to two-way contracts, who they're earmarking as targets as undrafted free agents, as second round picks. Okay, so I when we talk about this draft, and rightly so, we think about, okay, who are the Warriors going to take with that top five pick? And look, that's the most consequential pick that they're going to make. Of all these things that matter, that's the thing that matters most. But talking with people in the Warriors organization, I wrote this on Friday for my story, they believe they're 90% done with their evaluation. By the time all these things were canceled, and by the way, just to recap, the NCAA tournament, so March Madness gone, the Portsmouth Invitational, which is a showcase for college seniors, okay, it's kind of like their last chance besides the draft combine to make a name for themselves, to get drafted or to put themselves on an NBA radar. Okay, that's gone. All right, the Nike Hoop Summit, which is another showcase for U.S. prospects and international prospects, that's gone. And talking with people in the organization, look, you can get a lot of stuff just from watching film, but sometimes players don't choose the right colleges. Okay, coming out of high school, you don't make the right decision. You don't always go to the right college, and sometimes you go to college and they don't know how to use you. They don't know how to use you. And so you don't look good. And then you get into these other more isolated type of situations, whether it be the combine and they're doing your skill work, or Nike Hoop Summit and you're in a different situation where it's a little bit more of like an AAU kind of feel, and you can maybe showcase your talents in a way you weren't able to do in college. Even the Portsmouth Invitational, if you're a college senior and maybe you didn't get all the playing time that you wanted throughout your college career, and then you get this chance to go up against other seniors and kind of show your stuff, that's where these guys are able to shine and make and have an opportunity to create a career for themselves that otherwise they may not have. And by the way, right now, they do not have. Okay? This does not exist anymore. These have been canceled. Not postponed, canceled. So for the Warriors, this is going to impact how, not again, not the top five pick. They believe that they are have enough information with that top five pick to make a good selection with that top five pick. Nobody is over the moon for any of these top five guys. I've talked about it enough. Like, there is no Zion Williamson. There is no Luka Doncic in this draft. There just isn't. Okay? As far as a blue chip prospect, I'm not saying that there won't be a guy in this draft who ends up emerging as a multiple all-star. There will be a guy in this draft, at least, who emerges as a multiple-time all-star. There is in every draft. It always happens. We even go back to the Anthony Bennett draft. Giannis was taken at 15. Okay? There is somebody in this draft. There is. The Warriors believe they have enough information to make the right selection. We'll see if that actually happens or not. But they're not worried so much about how all these events being canceled impacts their selection there. They're worried about that next step. They're worried about, okay, they've got 2 second-round picks. Who do we take? It's harder to make those decisions. These top five guys have plenty of chance to show their skills. That's why they're top five guys. They're the alphas on their teams. They have the ball all the time. Plenty of time on the floor. They're not worried about that. It's these second-rounders. These hidden gems, okay? Those are the guys that they're trying to find. Let alone, okay, now you've got 2 second-round picks, big deal. You could figure it out, okay? You could just look at draft boards and, I mean, there's 60 guys in college basketball that you could figure out, okay? But then you start talking about these real fringe stuff here. Summer League. The G League roster. Who are they going to put on Santa Cruz next year? You think about guys like Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder, even Kai Bowman, undrafted. I mean, these are the guys that we're talking about. Kai Bowman was a helpful player for most of the season for the Warriors. The last couple months of the season were not good for him. But let's not let that detract from what he was able to do the first few months of the season. He was really good. I think he could potentially be a part of this team going forward. Okay, there's potential there. There's something there. He was undrafted. And so if you're the Warriors, how do you now fill out these rosters? You have spent most of your season trying to figure out what to do with this top pick. They told me, we knew since mid-December, early to mid-December, that we were going to be picking in the top five. They knew it. They already knew it. You knew it and I knew it too. It's not rocket science. They were a really bad basketball team. They knew it already. Considering that Steph was only going to come back for a handful of games, Klay wasn't coming back at all. They knew all of that. So they've been preparing. They have seen the top 10 to 15 guys 3 or 4 times already. They have. They've seen all of them. They've seen all of them 3 or 4 times. Overseas, in the United States, in college, whatever. They've seen all of them. Everybody that they could see, of course, unless you're injured or James Wiseman and he didn't play. They've seen all these guys. They know who they like, okay? And they're just putting the finishing touches right now. They know who they like right now. Now it's a matter of strategy, okay? If we end up with the first pick, what do we do? We've got a 50% chance almost of getting the fifth pick. If that happens, what do we do there? That's what they're working on. Their big board, they know what their big board is. Now it's strategy stuff at the top of the draft, and that's very important. Determining, okay, how much more valuable is this guy over this guy? If we can move down to this place, do we do that? What options do we have to trade down if we get this pick in the draft lottery? That's what they're working on. And things could still be fluid in their top 10, top 15, of course, okay? Because now you're getting guys like Steve Kerr and all these guys. They're getting into the film work. Now they're all going to go back and watch even more film. Like, they haven't watched all the film. They're going to watch all the film now, and they're going to make their determination. And then they need to figure out how they're going to fill out the rest of this team. And it's going to be hard. When they're watching film, maybe other guys stand out. That's possible. But they're planning on probably ending up with 70 to 80 prospects on their board. That's going to be a lot tougher without these events. And they're aware of it, and they're going to try to figure it out. But boy, that's not easy. I guess the bright side of this is, and this is what people were telling me, we got nothing else to do right now, so we might as well just watch every basketball game possible. Just that, and that is now your film work. And what's interesting to me about that is, yeah, they've gotten information. They could talk to agents. They could talk to colleges. They've got sources and stuff where they can. And look, they will eventually be able to talk to some of these players. You and I can't do that, but you and I can go watch any game that they could go watch. It's all right there online. Just go. I'm sure you can find it. Watch film. You and I have the same amount of information almost as these guys. Watch film. If you're a mock draft guy on one of these blogs, this is your dream, right? It's an even playing field. So, yeah. Top five pick, I'm not that worried about. I think they'll make a decent selection. I've got some ideas. But it's this other stuff. It's going to be tougher. And it'll be interesting if Summer League even happens. We don't even know if it'll happen. But it might be a lot of retreads, might be a lot of flyers on guys, might be a lot of guys who are high school recruits who didn't quite pan out in college and you're just sort of taking a flyer on that talent, but that might be it. All right, let's wrap it up here. Our Twitter poll is next. This is Locked On Warriors. Okay, today's Locked On Warriors poll. We are doing this every single day for the final segment. I shouldn't promise that. I think we're going to do this every day for the final segment. I'm going to put a poll out on Twitter. You can follow me at WC Goldberg so that you can submit your answers to this. The Twitter poll today is, which of the following are you spending more time consuming? The options were streaming TV of movies, 39.3%, reading books, 7.1%. Good job, everybody. Video games, 28.6%, and food, 25%. So streaming TV, movies, far and away, almost 40% of the vote right there. Nobody's reading books. Guys, read a book. I'm not judging you. I am judging you. You can, 15 minutes a day, read something, guys. But streaming TV, movies, I'm doing a lot of that too. Better Call Saul, catching up on that. Catching up on the new season of Curb. All of it's good. I mean, you guys see this Tiger King trailer? Jesus Christ. Probably talk about that later in the week, maybe. Video games. What video games are we playing? I know everybody's on this Animal Crossing thing right now. I remember playing that when I was a kid. That's a tremendous waste of time. I shouldn't say waste of time. I'm sure it's fun. It's a tremendous time consumer. Time sucker. Animal Crossing. Thanks to everybody who always answers these Twitter polls. Let us know what you are watching. I would say let me know what you're reading, but it doesn't seem like you're reading anything. 7%? Come on, guys. Read something. Jesus. Are we cooking? 25% of you said you're spending a lot of time eating. How much time do you spend eating? Are we cooking now? How many of you are cooking? Learning to cook. You got time. Look up a recipe. Is that what you're doing? Would love to know. Send pictures. What are we doing? Let's try to build a community with this. That's the whole point of this Locked On Warriors poll. Every day, I've got a poll. Third segment. That's what we're doing here, okay? Respond to each other. Let's do something. Let's have fun. What else are you going to do? This is fun. All right, that wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Thanks for listening.